You can be seated. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I can't think of any other place I'd rather be, and I'm excited for revival. I hope you've been praying for revival. He'll preach just about as good as we've been praying for him. And church, I hope you've been praying for it. I don't know about you, but I need a revival. I know this man can't bring a revival, but I know who can. I hope you've been looking to him. I hope you've been hungry and thirsty for God to do something. The Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you ain't been looking to be filled of God, you won't get filled. But if you emptied yourself of everything, you've emptied yourself of self and sin and everything else, you know what? It's a good way to get emptied and be filled of him. If you hope you've been praying for him, he'll be bringing the message. And the pastor asked me to go ahead and open up for him. I know he had a slip out during choir practice, but his mom wasn't doing too good this afternoon. And the hospice nurse called the family in, but they gave her some medicine, and she's doing a lot better right now. So just pray for him. He said there's no need to stop by or call or anything like that. He said just be praying, and Lord willing, he'll be here tomorrow. They're going to stay with her for a couple hours and get everything taken care of. But he said that he would just appreciate the prayers. And you know the pastor, his heart's here at the church, and we basically had to push him away to go down there. He would love to be here, but God understands, and I appreciate that, and I love my pastor. I appreciate him and his family, but if y'all would just pray for him, and I don't want to hinder anything of the service, but he wanted me to make mention of that, and I know I love my mom. I only got one, so I know the pastor, he loves his, so he wanted me to make mention of that, and I'll go ahead, and I don't have to introduce him. You know Brother Stephen Pope, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church down in Union Grove, so I hope you've been praying for him, and I'll ask him to go ahead and come preach to us, and ask God to speak to your heart tonight. During the message, just say, God, would you speak to my heart? Would you give me something from this word of God? I guarantee you, God will speak to your heart if you let him. I'm excited to see what God's going to do. Come on, preacher, preach to us.
Well, it's a blessing to be back at Calvary Baptist Church in North Wilkesboro. Calvary Baptist Church way up there. That's what your pastor says. And we're glad you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. And this is a great looking crowd. For Sunday night, I am so sorry about your pastor and his mom. I spoke with your pastor a little while ago coming down the road, and he told me what was going on. And I told him, I said, listen, you take care of things there, and everything will be fine. And it will be, won't it? And so you pray, and I'm glad to hear that his mom's doing just a little bit better right now. And so remember that family. I know that it's tough, you know, when your pastor's not here, your pastor's called away, especially. It'd be different, you know, if Brother Mark was preaching away somewhere or something like that, but that's not the case tonight. And so I know that your heart is in two different places this evening, and I'm going to keep that in mind tonight. I think I'm going to try to keep things brief tonight, and I'm not going to try to go very long at all this evening. But I'm glad to be here, and I appreciate you coming. And we won't be long, but I believe that we can accomplish a lot. I believe the Lord can accomplish a lot in a little bit of time. And I do want to stop and say several things. I want to say how much I appreciate your pastor. We haven't known each other very long, but I had already planned on saying this with him or without him. But I really feel like Brother Mark Hall is probably one of the best friends I have in my entire life. I mean that. He and I stay in contact a lot. We stay in contact probably more than we should sometimes. He's a blessing. He really is. We had him down at Calvary sometime back, and he preached for us. And honestly, he preached probably one of the greatest messages that's ever been preached at Calvary. And I mean that. And so I know you're blessed tonight. I know you know you're blessed, and you're blessed with a good man of God. He loves you. He loves your church. He speaks so highly of you. Our conversations are never negative. They're always positive. He's always just speaking so highly of the church and just loves you so much and talks about what a blessing you are. And so we thank the Lord for your pastor and his wife, and we appreciate Miss Cindy and the whole family. What a blessing they are to us. And then so many of you. I feel like we have made so many friends at Calvary. And it hadn't been that long since we've been here, so I'm sorry to do this to you again, all right? But, you know, your pastor had called us sometime back and asked us if we'd come, and I said, man, are you sure about that? And he said, I feel it's the will of God. I said, well, if you know it's the will of God, I'll come, but I hope we're not going to beat a dead horse to death here tonight, but we're glad to have you here this evening. And then I'm glad to have Glad to have my family here tonight. I'm glad my wife was able to be with me this evening. And then some of my kids. It's good to have Hannah and her husband Timothy with us tonight. And then my son Samuel and his wife Rebecca here tonight. And then it's good to have Moses with me here tonight. And so you can go away tonight and say, you're not going to believe this. We had the Pope and we had Moses tonight. And they're going to say, it ain't true, it ain't true. And you say, yes, it is, it is. It's true, both of it's true. And but I'm glad Moses. Moses is our little grandson, and we're glad he's here tonight. And I'm glad you're here tonight. And we're going to try to keep an eye on the clock this evening. I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, this evening and turn to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. I had not really planned on bringing this message tonight. And I hope you'll come back tomorrow. I hope you'll bring somebody with you tomorrow night. I promise you, by the grace of God, I'll do my best to bring the gospel every single night. And if you'll bring your lost loved ones, we'll do our best this week to get them saved. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Be thinking of somebody that you know of, somebody that you work with, somebody that you live beside, maybe an unchurched family member that maybe doesn't know Christ. Bring them back with you to the meeting, and we'll do our best to promote Jesus, and we'll do our best to preach Jesus and try to get people saved this week. And boy, wouldn't it be great to see some folk born again this week? And so I want to encourage you to bring them back tomorrow night with you. And I promise I'll, Lord willing, if the Lord will let us, I'll try to bring some messages that maybe have a few more captivating stories and things like that. Tonight is not so much like that. Like I said, this is not really a message that I planned on bringing tonight, but I really feel like for some reason that God wanted me to bring this message just to make sure we get the meeting started off right tonight. And so I want you to look in Ezra chapter 9, and why don't we give you one last opportunity to stretch your legs and stand out of respect for the reading of God's word. Ezra chapter 9, and look, if you will, please, at verse number 5. The Bible says, "And at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I'm ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up under the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." Ezra says, "For we were bondmen. Yet our God, oh yes, hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem." You may be seated tonight. And just for a few moments, I want to try to preach on this subject: why we need revival. Why we need revival. And someone may be here tonight and you say, "Preacher, it's not been that long ago since we had a meeting. Why do we need another meeting? Why do we need another revival?" And I want to try, with the Lord's help tonight, I want to try to answer that question. And then I want to try to quickly give you a few things that I believe will help us have revival in our churches. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and we'll jump right into the Bible study. I hope it'll be a blessing. Father, we love you. And thank you for the opportunity to be in God's house tonight. God, we pray for Preacher and his wife and God, their family tonight. God, how we pray that you'd be that ever-present help in a time of need. God, I pray that you would encourage that family. I pray that you would lift their spirits tonight. God, I pray for this dear mother, that Lord tonight, that Father, that you would move close to the bed. And God, that you would touch her. And Father, if it might be your will, that you'll bring her back to her health again. God, I pray that you'll bless this church family. I know they missed their pastor tonight. But God, I do pray that the Spirit of God would settle down here in a great way this evening. And I pray that Jesus would receive glory and praise and honor from all that's done. God, please meet with us tonight. I pray for a fresh anointing for the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray if there may be one here this evening that's never been saved, I pray tonight would be the night that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, as Ezra said, would you give us reviving tonight? God, would you send revival not only to this church, but to this community, in this area, and to other churches close by. God, help us, please. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, and all God's people said, amen. It's almost here in Ezra chapter 9, as if Ezra is offering a sigh of relief. He's thanking the Lord that revival has finally come. He even mentions here, God, thank you for giving us a little reviving. And how many know tonight that a little reviving is better than no reviving? And we're glad that revival has come. And I want you to follow tonight Ezra's thinking. As he's saying here, Lord, we were in a time when we needed revival really bad. We were bondmen. We were in bondage. Ezra's saying, Lord, we were down and out. God, we were living in sin. God, we were in a time in our life when, as if to say, we were going under for the last time, and revival came just in the nick of time. And how many would say tonight that we're also living in a land tonight called America that is in desperate need of a touch of God? Brother, if there's ever been a time in America when we need revival tonight. I want to draw, if I could, just a moment, it's by way of introduction, just some similarities to what was going on in Ezra's day and what's going on in this day in America. We notice, first of all, that they're having problems in their marriages. Look, if you will, at Ezra chapter 9 and verse number 2. The Bible says, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. We notice here they were marrying the wrong kind of people. We notice that they were marrying pagan people and heathen people. And it was causing major, major problems in the land. Sort of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Well, we're living in a day when we're having major, major problems in our country as far as marriage is concerned. And young people, may I say tonight, the second most important decision that you'll ever make in life is who you're going to marry. Thank God, the most important decision, of course, being salvation. But the second most important decision is that person that you will spend the rest of your life with. And may I say tonight, marriage can be one of two things. Marriage can be heaven on earth, or marriage can be hell on earth. And so it's very careful and very important that you choose the right spouse. American Psychological Association tells us about 40 to 50% of married couples in the United States divorce. That the divorce rate for subsequent marriages is even higher. And that 13 million children under the age of 18 have one or both parents missing in the home. I'm sure your pastor could relate to this, but pretty much on a weekly basis, I'm getting call after call after call from people that are in dire straits. It hasn't been but just a few days ago. I got a call on my phone and was in the office, and I answered the phone, and I can tell there were problems on the other end. Preacher, we're having major problems. We've got major issues. And I began to try to help this family and walk through some problems with this family. I was getting ready to go to the church, and I got in the car and not even made it to the interstate. My phone rang again. It was a different family, a different man. He said, "Preacher, I really need your prayer." He said, "We're having problems like never before. I don't know if my wife and I are going to make it." And we notice here that they're having major problems in their marriages. Not only that, but Calvary, I notice they're having major problems in their morals. You'll notice in Ezra chapter 9 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites.'" I won't go into it tonight, but if you study out some of these people groups, you'll find out that they were involved in almost unmentionable abominations. I mean, brother, things that would boggle the mind. I mean, they had gotten so far away from God. I'm talking about human sacrifice. I'm talking about child sacrifice. I'm talking about depraved immorality. And what's really sad is now these people are joined in. God's people have joined in right alongside of the heathen. Does it sound familiar? We're living in a nation today, brother. Our moral compass is broken. I mean, listen, who would have thought that we would be where we are in America today? I mean, brother, morally, we are hurting in America. I mean, it's a shame. It's crazy. I mean, I feel so sorry for our kids. Man, they don't know which way is up and which way is down. And thank God, even in these days in which we're living, thank God we have the Word of God that tells us which way to go and what we should believe and where we should, what we should do. But we're living in a land now, brother, you know what? We don't even know who to marry anymore. We're trying to marry people of the same sex. Now we're getting so depraved. We've got people that are trying to marry children. Now we've got people so depraved, they're wanting to marry their pets. Now we've got people so depraved, they're wanting to marry multiple partners. And I'm just telling you today, morally speaking, America is hurting. I mean, brother, we are in such a bad way tonight, we don't even know which bathroom to use anymore. I mean, man, who would have ever thought that America would be in a place where we've got hairy-legged men walking into a female restroom. And, brother, just something somewhere is wrong. You know what it is? We need revival. We notice here they're having problems in their marriages. We notice they're having problems in their morals. But we also notice they're having problems in their ministry. You'll notice in Ezra chapter 9 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving," watch now, "to set up the house of our God and to repair the desolations thereof." We find out here the house of God has all but been deserted. And somewhere in this transition, godly worship has been lost. That the people of God are no longer worshiping anymore. They're no longer making their way to the house of the Lord. They tell us in 1990, 20.4% of Americans attended church on a given weekend. But in the year 2000, it went down to 18.7%. And in 2005, 17.5%. And in 2010, 16.2%. And they estimate in 2020 that only 14% of Americans will attend any church. I'm not talking about a Baptist church. I'm not talking about a Bible-believing church. But 14% of Americans will attend any kind of church at all. And I'm telling you, Calvary, we are in desperate shape. And we need revival terribly in America. Not only were they having problems in their marriages, problems in their morals, and problems in their ministry. But I notice here, church, they were having problems moving forward. You'll notice in Ezra chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. Now I want you to follow me. Man, they've got major issues. They've got major, major problems in Israel. But isn't it interesting that when we come to Ezra chapter 9, right in the middle of all these problems, problems in marriages, problems in morals, problems in ministry, problem in moving forward, all of a sudden we come to Ezra chapter 9 and we find a great God in all of His mercy and all of His grace, even in the spite of all these issues, God still gives revival. Now, I don't know about y'all today, but I believe with all my heart that if God wants to, I believe that God can still send revival in America. Some people don't believe that. Some people believe that we're too far gone, that revival will never come. But I want to say tonight, I don't believe it. I'm not going to hang on to that. But I believe that God's big enough. I believe that God could still cause a revival to sweep through this land where many people are saved and many people's lives are changed. And oh, how we need revival in the land today. Not only do we notice that need for revival, but church, I want to take just a moment as we close, and I want to show you some things that I believe brought revival in Ezra's day. Number one, we notice an individual got right. Would you look with me, please, at Ezra chapter 1 and verse number 1? An individual by the name of Cyrus, King Cyrus. Look, if you will, at Ezra chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth and hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Hey, listen to me now. One person got right with God and revival came. Do you know what I believe tonight? I believe there could be one person at Calvary Baptist Church in North Wilkesboro that, you know what, you could be that you're the key to revival at this church. That's right. I mean, brother, I believe that one person can bring revival. I believe that one person can keep revival from coming. I mean, brother, if there's sin in the church and there's bitterness in the church and there's hard feelings in the church, but all of a sudden people begin to get right, it is amazing how God can begin to bless. May I remind us tonight, it was an individual by the name of Achan that deflected the blessing of God from Israel. May I remind us tonight, it was an individual by the name of Jonah that put an entire ship's crew into harm's way. May I remind us tonight, it was an individual by the name of Eve that plunged the entire human race into sin and death. May I remind us tonight, it was an individual by the name of Abraham that temporarily held off the judgment of God from a family in Sodom. May I remind us tonight, it was an individual by the name of Elijah that prayed down fire from heaven and turned a kingdom back to God. And I'm just saying this, brother, you're here tonight and you say, preacher, it doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter the decisions I make. Oh, yes, it does. Brother, I'm telling you, one person here tonight that says, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. God, wherever you want me to go, I'll do it. Just let go and let God have His way. And it could be, there may be one person here tonight that God may use to bring this church into a great revival. I thought about the great Welsh revivals. I know you've heard of the great Welsh revivals. They say that when that revival broke out, that over 150,000 people were converted and brought to Christ. They said that churches were literally changed, that homes were turned around for the cause of Christ. They said this about the great Welsh revivals. They said that meetings went on for hours. Sometimes for more than 10 hours at a time without a break. They said that people lost all sense of time. And the churches were so full that crowds gathered outside until they could somehow squeeze their way in. When that revival took place, they said that whole communities were turned upside down, that the crime rate dropped. They said that magistrates turned up at the courthouse with no cases to try. They said the alcohol trade was decimated. I mean, brother, great revival came. And somebody says, wow, preacher, that's great. And it was. But may I tell you tonight how that revival started? They tell us this if you go back and study history. It was February the 14th in a Sunday service at a place called Joseph Jenkins Chapel. There was a little woman, a little young woman there, a young lady. Her name was Flory Evans. I'm sure that church was packed and jammed that day. And the Lord began to speak to Flory Evans, a young lady in the church. The Lord began to speak to her heart. I'm sure just like you. Oh, she was scared to death. I'm sure just like you. Her palms began to sweat and her throat got dry. And I'm sure that she got nervous just like you would. But they said on that day, February the 14th, they said that Flory Evans stood to her feet and publicly confessed, and this is what she said, "I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart." And they said, brother, at that very moment, there was something about that. There was something about that decision that sparked a flame, that sparked a fire, and the revival fires begin to burn, and people begin to get saved, and churches begin to fill up, and revival begin to come. What do you say? I'm saying, brother, it could be one person here tonight. You're here tonight, and you've got hard feelings in your heart. May I say tonight, why don't you get down on this altar before the service is done and say, God, I'm getting it right. I'm getting it confessed. You're here tonight, and there's sin in your life. You ought to get on this altar tonight before you leave and say, God, I'm getting it right. I want to be right with God. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, God's been wanting me to do something for a long, long time. Hey, would you just sell out tonight? Would you just let go and let God have his way? And it could be, there may be one man, there may be one lady, there may be one teenager that's here tonight, and it could be that God will use you to bring revival to Calvary Baptist Church. We notice an individual got right. But we also notice something else, Calvary. We notice the altar got rebuilt. Would you look with me, please, at Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 2. Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren." Look what it says. "And builded the altar of the God of Israel." Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "And they set the altar upon his basis, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries." We notice here the altar began being used again. Now, what was the altar? Well, the altar was that place where people offered prayers. The altar was that place where people confessed sin. The altar was that place where sacrifices were made on a regular basis. Did you know there used to be a time in America when people used to use the altar? The old timers used to call it the mourner's bench. We used to talk about those tear-stained altars where people would come and get on the altar and they would cry and they would weep. And there would be, literally, there would be tear stains on the altar. People crying out for their loved ones and asking God to save. Asking God to save their spouses. Asking God to save their children. Asking God to save their family. Asking God to save their coworkers. But somewhere along the line, we got away from using the altar in America. And I believe tonight, brother, you know what? I believe it would help us if we got back to the place where we use the altar again. And may I say tonight, there's just, somebody says, well, preacher, do you have to use the altar to make a decision? No, you don't have to. You can make a decision in your seat where you are, but there's something about humbling yourself and making your way down to an old-fashioned altar, and it seems like God seals that decision like nothing else. I may have told this story. I don't remember if I did or not. I remember Dr. Tom Williams telling the story. He was preaching in a meeting and had a great service. And boy, the Spirit of God began to work and people began to come and get saved. And Dr. Williams said there was a lady in the church, and you could tell she was very affluent. She had a lot of money. She was dressed to impress, dressed very well. And altar was going on. The invitation was going on. And Brother Williams said this lady came down and she shook the preacher's hand. He said, yes, ma'am, what can I do for you? She said, well, she said, you talked about receiving Christ. And she said, I'd like to receive Christ. He said, that's wonderful, wonderful. He said, come on, sister, let's get down here on the altar. And he got down on the altar and turned around, and wasn't nobody with him. He turned around, still standing in the aisle there. He came back and he said, I'm sorry. He said, I thought you said you were coming to get saved. She said, yes. She said, I want to get saved. He said, I thought that's what you said. He said, good. He said, come on, let's get down here on the altar. And he got down the altar and he's all by himself again. She's still standing there. He came back up and he said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I thought you want to get saved. She said, I do. But she said, does everybody have to kneel at an altar to get saved? And Brother Williams said, no, not everybody, but you do. Amen. And all of a sudden he said, that lady came down and he said, man, you could tell it wasn't something she had ever done very much. And I mean, she had never really humbled herself down. He said, have you ever seen the way a cow lays down at night in the field? You ever seen that? I mean, the front goes down first and then the back goes, you know what I'm talking about? And he said, man, it was a little bit awkward for her to humble herself. But he said, when she finally got down there and humbled herself before God, he said, brother, the waterworks turned on and tears began to stream down those cheeks. And boy, she called out to God and said, God, I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. And got gloriously saved. I'm telling you, Calvary, you know what we ought to get back to in America? Using the altar again. No, you say, preacher, but can I make a decision? I see, yes, you can. But I want to say again, brother, there's just something about using the altar. And we notice here in Ezra's day, listen, the altar got rebuilt. Hey, can I say this quickly tonight? Not only did an individual get right and the altar got rebuilt, but you know what, church, I noticed something else. I noticed the foundations of the house of God got reinforced. Would you notice with me, please, Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 10. The Bible says, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he's good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. You know what I believe, Calvary? If people would just reinforce the importance of God's house, I believe America would see revival again. Man, just get back to the importance of church again. Now, I'll let your preacher deal with things in this church. I'm not going to do that. But I have pastored now for over 26 years. And I'm telling you, brother, one thing that I've learned after pastoring for over 26 years is this. It don't take much to keep people out of the house of God. I mean, church is just not really important anymore. I mean, brother, it's just not a priority. And I really believe if somehow in America we could get back to the place where we make God's house a priority week after week and Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, I believe that God could stir a revival in America again. Man, there's just something about being faithful to God's house. We had a little couple that visited our church some time back. And I shook their hand and I said, boy, so glad to have you tonight. I said, what brings you to Calvary? And they said, oh, we had to come. I said, excuse me? They said, well, our family started attending your church several months ago. And they said, we saw such a change in our family's life that we had to come here and see for ourselves what was going on. You know what, brother? I believe that right there could change Union Grove. I believe it could change North Wilkesboro. If people got that serious about the house of God, I mean, brother, I'm talking about don't call in, crawl in. I mean, just be here. Don't let anything hold you back, man. Just come. I mean, brother, just come. And you say, well, preacher, I didn't feel very good. Well, come on anyway. I'm telling you, brother, there's something about the house of God and there's something about coming to the house of God that makes you not only feel good spiritually, but it makes you feel better physically. Man, just faithful to the house of God. Man, you heard about that lady. And she had gotten saved. Man, she got saved. She fell in love with Jesus. Man, she loved the Lord. Every Sunday she'd get ready. Man, she'd get up. Her husband was lost. She'd get up. She'd fix him some breakfast. And she'd go and get ready and get her Bible. She'd go to the house of God. She didn't nag her husband, didn't preach at him. She just loved him, trying to love him to God. Well, that went on for weeks and weeks. Every Sunday morning, she'd come down, get his breakfast ready. She'd go upstairs, get ready, get her dress on, and get all prettied up, get her Bible in her hand. She'd head down to the house of God. And little by little, her husband, what it was, he was getting under conviction. And so one Sunday morning, just like regular, she came downstairs, she fixed him a nice breakfast. She went upstairs, she got her dress on, fixed her hair, put a little makeup on. She got her Bible, came down, getting ready to walk out. And her husband said, woman, you're not going to church today. She said, no, sweetie. She said, I fixed you a nice breakfast. She said, now, I don't bother you and I don't nag at you and I don't preach at you. But she said, honey, she said, you know God saved me. And she said, I love Jesus with all my heart. And she said, Sunday's the Lord's day. And I always go to church on Sunday. And he said, woman, I told you, you're not going to church today. She said, now, sweetie. She said, I love you with all my heart. And I'm not trying to bother you. But she said, I love God with all my heart. And I'm good. And he said, woman, I told you. And man, just, I mean, out of his mind. And reached in the drawer and pulled out a loaded pistol and pointed it at his wife. And he said, woman, I told you, you're not going to church today. But something came over. And she looked back at that unsaved husband. And she said, you hear me and you hear me well. She said, if you shoot me now, I'm going to heaven. And if you don't, I'm going to church. And walked out of the house and went to God's house. Man, that's what I'm talking about. Man, just some Christians who say, I'm going to be there, going to be there, going to be there. I mean, you don't have to wonder. You're not going to have to call. You don't have to send me letters. I mean, preacher, I'm going to be there every time the doors are open. I'll be there for choir practice. I'll be there for Sunday school. I'll be there for prayer meeting. I'll be there for revival. I'll be there every time the doors come open. Brother, there's something about being faithful to the house of God. And I believe if we'd get back to that, God could bring revival. I also notice, not only did an individual get right, and not only was the altar rebuilt, and not only the foundations of God's house were reinforced, but let me close tonight and say this. I noticed the people got restarted. Would you look with me, please, at Ezra chapter 4 and verse number 24? We notice something. We notice the work has stopped. Ezra chapter 4, verse number 24. The Bible says, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased under the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And so we notice here the work has stopped. But I love it. We also notice in Ezra chapter 5 that God sends his prophets. And his prophets start preaching. And look what happens in Ezra chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, then, after the work stopped, then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Look at verse 2. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Jozadak and began to build the house of God which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. Thank God these people got discouraged. But God sent his preachers, his prophets, and they began to preach. And they began to encourage. And they began to motivate. And the Bible says the people that had stopped, thank God they got restarted. And may I say tonight, Calvary, if something has caused you to stop, and if something has caused you to cease, why don't you just restart what you stopped? Maybe tonight you ought to restart your Bible reading. If you're here tonight and you're not in your Bible every single day, you say, well, preacher, there used to be a time when I was in my Bible every day, but something happened. I stopped. Okay, why don't you restart tonight? You say, well, preacher, there used to be a time in my life when I used to pray every day. I used to talk to God every day, and I used to tell him I loved him every day. But something happened, and I stopped. All right? Why don't you restart tonight? You say, preacher, there used to be a time in my life when we were faithful to God's house. Man, we were here every Wednesday night. We were here every Sunday night. We were here for revival. We were here for Sunday school. And you say, preacher, I didn't mean for it to happen. I don't know what happened, but something happened, and we stopped. Okay, why don't you restart tonight? Why don't you restart your Bible? Why don't you restart your prayer life? Why don't you restart your soul winning? You say, Pastor, I used to be involved in a ministry, but I stopped. Okay, why don't you restart that ministry? Hey, listen, Calvary, whatever you do, man, finish the race. Finish the race. It was 1968. The Olympic Games were held in Mexico that year. It was the last event of the program. It was a large marathon, 30 kilometers. And the stadium was filled with thousands and thousands of people, reporters, cameras were flashing. And they said that a man from Ethiopia was at the head of the race and ran in the stadium and made his way through the finish line. Boy, flash bulbs were going off and they were taking pictures and interviewers, and there were other people that came right in behind him. But way, way, way back in the back of the pack, there was a fellow by the name of John Stephen Aquari. He was from Tanzania. Man, they said that his head was throbbing. His muscles were aching. In fact, they said an hour later, after the first man had went through the finish line, an hour later, John Stephen Aquari came across the finish line. Most of the people that were in the stadium had left by now. There weren't a lot of reporters there. There weren't a lot of cameras there. And John Stephen Aquari just sort of stumbled across the finish line. A little bit later on, a reporter came to him and said, why didn't you just stop? You were already hurting. You were already having a hard time. One of your legs was injured. Why didn't you just quit? And he said this, my country didn't send me here just to start the race. They sent me here to finish. And you're here tonight. Did you know that God wants you to finish the race? You say, Pastor, somewhere along the line, I got off course. Somewhere along the line, we quit praying. Somewhere along the line, we quit having family altar. Somewhere along the line, I got out of my ministry. Somewhere along the line, I got out of the will of God. Somewhere along the line, something happened. Okay, why don't you restart tonight? Why don't you get back in there tonight? Boy, tonight would be a good night to do that. Man, just come down and use the altar and say, God, tonight, I'm getting back in this book tonight. I'm sorry that I got away from it, but God, tonight I'm getting back in my Bible. God, tonight I'm going to find some time to pray. God, tonight, tonight I'm yielding myself to you. I want you to use me again. I want you to bless me again. I want to be the spiritual leader of my home that I need to be tonight. You say, preacher, not that big a deal. Florrie Evans probably thought that. Was it really a big deal that she stand up and give that testimony? I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. That's all she said. And revival broke out. You're here tonight. You say, preacher, it's not that big deal that I get right. You could be the key to revival at Calvary Baptist Church in North Wilkesboro. Hey, church, let's start this meeting off right. Man, let's make sure we want revival. Let's make sure, you know what? It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Who was it? Was it Gypsy Smith or Peter Cartwright? Who said, whenever I pray for revival, he said, this is what I do. I take a piece of chalk and he said, I draw a round circle. And then he said, I step inside that circle and I say, God, start revival. And start it in this circle first. And you know what? Maybe tonight there ought to be some people that just come to this altar and just draw a circle and say, God, I don't know about other folks. I don't know about Brother Chris. I don't know about Brother Tam. I don't know about these others. But God, would you do something in my heart? God, would you start revival in my life? Father, thank you so much for this time we've had together tonight. I know this is a little different to start out a meeting with, but God, I believe this is what you had for us. Father, we are in desperate need of revival in America. God, tonight, would you start a fire at Calvary Baptist Church in North Wilkesboro? God, who is it tonight? Who is it, Father, tonight in this crowd that may be the key to revival? God, tonight I pray that people will come from far and near. I pray they'll come from the front to the back. God, I pray they'll find a place on this old-fashioned altar. And I pray they'll kneel and call out to God. And God, I pray tonight that, Lord, you'll do something great. God, I pray that you'll do something so great at Calvary that, God, the ears of this community will tingle and that Jesus Christ will be glorified. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I don't know how your pastor gives an invitation, but can I just ask a question real quickly? First of all, I wonder how many are here tonight. And you'd say, Brother Pope, if I died tonight, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Preacher, there's not even a doubt. I know that I'm born again. I know that I am. Would you slip your hand up? You can take it right back down. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. That's great. Can I ask a second question? I wonder if there may be one here tonight and you'd say, preacher, please understand something. I want to go to heaven, but I'm just not sure. Pastor, I don't want to go to hell. But at the same time, I'm really not sure about heaven. I'm just not sure that I'm saved tonight. Preacher, would you do something for me? Would you pray for me? I'm not going to come back and try to drag you down the aisle. I just want to pray for you. And right now, you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? If I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Preacher, pray for me. Right now, you'd slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. Is there one anywhere? You'd raise it real high for me so I don't miss you. Is there one anywhere? Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. You'd slip your hand up. Come on, be honest. Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. Hey, church, I wonder maybe tonight if God, I wonder tonight if you're the key to revival at Calvary Baptist Church.